Okay, would you turn your Bible to Exodus 21, please? Exodus 21. We're going to flip our Bible several times today, and we will start. Since the birth of this nation, there have been many, many thousands of laws being authored and activated. Among those laws, there are some downright dumb laws. And maybe it made a sense at that time, but not now. And some of them is no longer in effect and no longer necessary, but still in effect. Here's one example. Among the Arizona laws, here's one thing. Hunting camel in Arizona is prohibited. Really? Many years ago, several decades ago, U.S. Army once experimented with a camel in the Arizona desert, and they eventually gave up. I don't know why. Then remaining camel was set free, and because it's several decades ago, so of course they died. But these laws are still in effect. Hunters, next time when you go on your hunting trip, if you ever see a camel roaming around, do not shoot them. You're going against the law. Got it? Okay. When you go to our neighboring state, California, right? Also known as California. There are three laws that kind of stands out. It is a misdemeanor to shoot any kinds of game from the moving vehicle unless the target is a whale. Why whale? Second one. Woman may not drive in a house coat. Okay, ladies, if you have a pink roller and a pink house coat, please do not drive. Okay, here's a good one. No vehicle without driver may exceed 60 miles per hour. But this could be wrong one. You know, now the Apple, Uber, and Google, and all this Tesla, they're all making unmanned vehicle, right? They go more than 60 miles per hour. But God's law is complete and perfect all the time, regardless of the civilization, regardless of the culture. Yes, some of them don't no longer fitting because the Gentile setting for us. But the spirit of the law can be applied in our lives without any problem. We are going to highlight some portion of chapters 21 and 22 in the book of Exodus, which cover the law concerning servant, violence, animal control, property, and morality. I believe that we are going to learn valuable and practical lessons from this old yet perfect law of God. Amen? Let's stop and pray. Father, as we recite your words, your law is perfect in converting the soul. We are the result, Father. Your testimony is sure in making wise simple. And we are the truly blessed ones because we walk in your law. Father, now we want to understand more of your law. Open our heart to receive your word. Anoint us that we may comprehend. And give us willingness and give us the faith to apply what we learn in our lives so that we may glorify your holy name. Father, we are also asking you to anoint one who speaks, that he may not speak his own word, but your word only. Now we pray against this COVID virus. Father, you willing, you remove this virus from the face of the earth permanently. And Father, we pray for the new administration. Father, we pray that those people may come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray that they may do what is right in your sight, not what they want. Now we pray for the uniformed personnel who are risking their lives for our safety and freedom. Father, we pray for the women and men of our armed forces. Wherever they are, Father, you protect them. If they are away from their families, you bring them safely to homes, to their families, to their friends. And Father, we pray for the law enforcement personnel who are constantly at threat of the danger and the firefighters. Father, we pray that they may be protected by your power. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 21, please. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy Hebrew servant, you shall, and he shall serve 6 years. In the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, she has borne him sons and daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters. He shall go out by himself. But the servant plainly said, But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. He shall serve him forever. Stop there, please. Before we go any further, we need to make one clear distinction and a clear definition of one particular word. Just about all the English Bible translation except New Living Translation, New American Standard Bible, and the English Standard Version translate Hebrew word abed, that is, which they translate New King James like I have. Abed is a servant. But correct translation is slave. Are you with me? The reason why they did that, the translators made into the servant in many occasions, is they're kind of sanitizing word to make it sound more palatable. What's the difference between the servant and the slave? Slave sounds lower class, is it not? It is true. Servant is usually one who has a contract with the master. So it sounds better. But translation-wise, it is incorrect. You do the research, grab a Bible dictionary, go look at it, and true definition is a slave. Servant is hireling, so you, it's kind of employee-employer relationship. So you tell them what to do, but they will do to the point. But the slave case, you do whatever the master or employer tell you to do. For our case, we were set free from the Satan's grip by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are we not? Then we voluntarily becoming slaves. See how my mouth is kind of trained to say servant. But become slaves of our Lord Jesus Christ. Willingly. When we do that, he has an obligation as well. He needs to take care of me for the rest of my eternal life. While we do that, while he's doing that, we serve him with our love. Voluntarily, we serve him rest of our eternal life as well. There's that relationship. So though Jews were allowed to own the slaves from the other kingdom, usually prisoners of war, they were told not to enslave their own Israeli people. But if they do, they must set them free after 6 years. The Lord also reminded them that they were once slaves while they were in Egypt, so they must treat their own slaves well. Here are 4 occasions for the Jews might become a slave to another Jew. Number 1, in extreme poverty, they might sell their own liberty, become of slaves. Second occasion, a poor father might sell his children into slavery. It sounds horrible, but think with me. When you have nothing to feed your own children, it's better for them to go to somebody's home and become a slave and so that they can eat. Am I making sense? It's a hard feeling for parents, hard decision for parents to make. Of course, there are some parents who could kill us. They just sell their children so they can make money. Third case is in the case of bankruptcy, man might become a slave to his creditor. Fourth occasion, if the thief has nothing with which to pay proper restitution. But if after 6 years of slavery, a Jewish slave wishes to make lifelong commitment to his master in light of his love for the master, because they have such a good relationship, and his wife he married after he became a slave, and they had the children out of them, then he could, through the ceremony in front of judge, he become a bond slave to his master. And you may think that, well, bond slave, that sounds familiar. You know that as a bond servant, right? In the New Testament, a lot of apostles introduce themselves, try to get that thing out, and as a bond servant. Bond servant means, as I said, you are with your master forever. And that become a bond slave to his master. This commitment is no longer motivated by the debt or obligation, but by love for his master. In ceremony, servant's ears are pierced with a sharp object in the presence of the witnesses. Then he shall serve his master throughout his life. They put the earrings. Nowadays, everybody has earrings, man, woman. You know, I don't have any tattoo. And somebody told me, well, we're going to put you down and put some tattoo on you. So I said, well, try that. See what happens. Maybe I will put the tattoo on you. By the way, speaking of tattoo, no extra charge for this. You know the tattoo you have? Your big old bald-head eagle, yeah, on your bicep and on your shoulder. Someday your skin's going to sag and it's going to turn into big bird. Big yellow bird. All right. There is an interesting prophecy in Isaiah concerning Jesus Christ. He declared prophetically, the Lord God has opened my ear in Isaiah 55. Go to, keep your finger in Exodus 21. Go to Isaiah, right before Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah 50, verse 5, please. You there yet? The Lord God has opened my ears, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Did you get that? I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. And verse 6, let's continue to read that portion. I give my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not hide my face from the shame and spitting. Does that sound familiar to you? That's Jesus, and while he was being tortured before the crucifixion, he was tortured by the Sanhedrin's servant. And he was tortured by the Roman soldiers. This is a messianic prophecy. And also, it's been said that he will be willingly submit himself to the Father. And he said, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me, in John chapter 5, verse 30. So he willingly submit himself to the will of Father, even as was reflected in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as our will, but whose will? God's will. God the Father's will. In Matthew 26, 39. My ear, again, it says in Isaiah 50, verse 5, prophetically, concerning the cross. The Lord God has opened my ears. God the Father brought Jesus to the cross and pierced his ear. It was a real ear. It meant body. He was slave by our choice, slave to the sin, like us, as submitted to the will of the Father in going to the cross for you and me. As I mentioned, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and James and Jude, when you opened up their letters, known as epistles, open letter. It starts with Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ and bond servant. James, the bond servant of Jesus Christ. Okay, bond servant, but remember what I said. Whenever you see the word servant appear in the Bible, you just need to translate to the what? Slaves, exactly. We should consider extreme privilege to be the bond servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, go to verse 12 of 21, please. He who, now we see the law concerning violence or crime. He who strike a man so that he died shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you the place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar and that he may die. This portion is a logical application of the sixth command of the Ten Commandments. Well, what is the sixth commandment? You shall not kill? No. Kill is, there's a clear distinction between kill and murder. Sixth commandment that you shall not murder. What about abortion? Is that a murder? Why is it murder? It's helping mama, right? No? That child inside mother's womb had no choice but killed, murdered. That's why it's not according to God's will. There's one quote-unquote female pastor said it's God's will for a woman to have abortion. Number one, you are not a pastor according to the word, and you are not speaking on behalf of God. Make it clear, sixth commandment says, you shall not murder. There's a difference, clear difference between the premeditated murder and accidental death. That can happen. So that the Lord made a very clear difference. And once Israel was in their land, they set apart the six cities of refuge where the manslayer could flee and be protected until the matter had been investigated. But for the one who premeditated, God did not extend his mercy. He would say to Moses, for the premeditated murderer, the book of murder one. You didn't get it? That was a really good one. Book of Daniel. You know, if I have to explain the joke, it's really bad one. Okay, we'll move on. Our God is a God of righteousness and justice. Amen? There are people in our society who will twist the justice. Judges, lawyers. There are some really, really bad lawyers. About 99%. Those who manipulate justice and court system will be accountable to the Lord at the end of their lives or the great white throne judgment day. I don't want to be them. All right, verse 23 of chapter 21, please. Here we have a law concerning the right punishment. This is very important. Verse 23. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man strike eye of his male or female servant, destroy it, he shall let him go free for the sake of an eye, for his eye. Verse 27. If he knocks out the tooth of his male and female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. When we hurt by someone, whether it's a physical or the emotional hurt, we tend to revenge, preparing for vengeance in our heart. 2 or 3 times more than we got. Don't we? Don't look at me like you never think about that kind of thing. We may not actually carry it, but at least we think about it in our heart. This principle applies to our modern practice of assessing a huge punitive damage in the lawsuit, millions of dollars. This important Old Testament law is known as lex talionis, which means the law of retaliation. It covers the what type of punishment should be sentenced out to transgressors by the judge, not by individuals. In other words, God was not condoning vigilante attitude. You know what? I'm sure you heard it. I don't get mad. I get what? Don't ever do that. Okay? It's not your job. Let the law handle it. And it was a punishment by the law, and God was telling the judge how to deal with those who commit crimes. What about the corrupt judges and the technicality by the crooked lawyers? God will deal with them. Is it right in our heart? Absolutely not. But still, let God handle it. Jesus teaches us not to pay back evil for evil. Somebody hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them back. Don't even think about it. God is our defense for a personal insult. Remember Jesus said, if someone strikes you, what did he say? Pick up the lead pipe, whack them upside of the head. That sounds right. Eye for an eye? No? No. Eye for eye, lex talionis, is same measurement, not more. You have to do what is right in the sight of God. It doesn't matter what the other person did. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 17, please. So if you've been harboring your own idea of revenge, I suggest you to stop. Verse 17. You there yet? Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Did you get that? Let's read one more time in verse 18. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And you may ask, what if that person doesn't want to live peaceably with me? That's his problem. You do. Because that's what God's telling us to do. However, Bible is not against personal defense. It's one thing for somebody to open their hands and whack you and slap your face. That's an insult, isn't it? But it's another thing for that person to wrap all five fingers and punch you. Now it's an assault. It's your choice. You can take a punch and then go for, okay, turn the other cheek. No. My case, I would take them. Okay, I wouldn't take them so hard. Personal defense is a different story. Understood? Okay, verse 28, chapter 21. If an ox goes a man or woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owners of the ox shall be acquitted. But if an ox tend to thrust with its horns in time past, and it's been known to its owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that he has killed a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall also shall be put to death. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him. Whether it has a gold of son or gold of daughter, according to this judgment, shall be done to him. If the ox gold a male or female servant, he shall give them their master, how much? 30 shekels of silver, and ox shall be stoned. Interestingly, the price of the gold slave was a 30 piece of silver. Does that remind you something? Let's go to Zechariah. Right before the book of Malachi, way in the back of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 11. Then I said to him, if it's agreeable to you, give me, you all there now? This is important. Give me my wages, if not, refrain. So they weighed out my wages, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that the prince and princely price they set on me. I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. This is a prophecy for what Judas Iscariot did to Jesus Christ. He thought Jesus would build the kingdom and he's the main guy and the rest of the disciples would take up big places. And then when he realized, Iscariot realized that it's not going to happen, then he concocted a new plan. He went to the Pharisees and planned to betray his master for the cost of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. After he realized what happened, and after the Jesus arrest, he remorse, not repented. Did you get that? He repented and brought the money back to the Pharisees. I don't want this money, the innocent blood. And they said, we cannot take the blood money. So Judas threw the money to the sanctuary of the Pharisees and he left and hung himself. And what did the Pharisees do? They were so lofty and they were so pious. They said, we cannot take this blood money back, so we will buy the land. And that land was called Potter's Field, just like the way prophesied. Talk about accuracy. In the New Testament, we read the Judas doing that kind of thing. You know, I don't know where you are. Some of you may not be a born-again Christian. For whatever reason, so far, you've been rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been rejecting Jesus Christ, if you don't know Him as your Savior and Lord in your heart, today is the day. Now is the time for you to come to know Christ. I will introduce Him to you at the end of the service so you can receive Him in your heart. Let's continue in chapter 22, verse 18. Now it's talking about the law concerning morality. Verse 18. You shall not permit the sorcerers to live. Whoever lies with animal shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices to any god, except to the god only, he shall be utterly destroyed. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him. For you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry and my wrath will become hot and I will kill you with a sword. Your wives shall be widows. And your children fatherless. Stop, please. The practice of sorcery was almost always associated with the medicinal art in the ancient world. What am I talking about? Hallucination and drugs. Therefore, connection between illegal drug taking and occultic practice. Folks, I don't know what you do in private setting. You have a lot of pain, so you're smoking marijuana. Is it really necessary? I know they said it's the same thing. And some people say, well, I take Oxycontin or cotton, whatever the pronunciation is. Be careful so you don't get hooked into it. And you may, you know, none of the people who are addicted stuck with, I'm going to get hooked up into this that drug. I'm going to be a junkie. Nobody stuck that way. I need to get rid of this pain, so I'm going to take it. And a little more, and a little more. Pretty soon you hook, line, and sinker all the way. Every one of them. Nowadays, sorcery is turning into different style. They are horoscope, Ouija board, getting into Dungeon and Dragon game, video game, voodoo, black magic, witchcraft, Wicca, palm reading, fortune telling, channeling, transcendental meditation, and satanic worship. These are against our holy God. Don't get involved with them. If the fortune telling and transcendental meditation, all this garbage are true. I have this question. There's one shop on 22nd Street of Tucson, near Alvin. It's between Campbell and the Country Club, I think. No, Alvin. Transcendental meditation place. and talk about crystal ball and all that thing. I was passing by and I looked at it. You know, if what you're selling is the truth, you wouldn't be in that little joint. Am I making sense to you? If they know all the truth and all the future, why would you stay in that little joint? Why not rule the world? Buy the stock and that which is going to go up and not going to go up. Folks, all of this, what I listed and more, are from the pit of hell. Stay far away from it. Moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, observe what your children are getting into. Their video games. Be careful what you allow them to buy and play. It starts with the innocence. Be careful. Please, you are opening the door to the satanic force. Do you want to know what is ahead of that kind of thing? You should. Some people like to read the horoscope, newspaper. They don't even get out of bed until they read the horoscope. Do me a favor. Pick up the Bible and read. God will speak to you far better than horoscope. Horoscope comes from the devil. And God doesn't even charge you anything. Bestiality. I know we have several young ears here, but I'm going to make this clear. Prohibited by God's word because it's a damnable perversion. Gift of sex is a designated between husband and wife. No one else and nothing else. Understood? Let's go to chapter 22, verse 25. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like the money lender to him. You shall not change, and you shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? It will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. You shall not revile God, nor curse or ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. Firstborn of your son you shall give to me, and likewise you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. You shall be with his mother 7 days. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. You shall be holy men to me, and you shall not eat meat torn by the beast in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Oh, I guess we are not going to use the roadkill on our picnic time. No, we use the Costco meat. The rich must not exploit the poor and give them the help they need. God hear the cries of afflicted. Proverbs 28:8 says, one who increases his possession by usury and extortion gathereth for him who will pity the poor. Blaspheming God was a capital offense at the time. It is a good thing that the Lord is very merciful. Those who use God's name in vain are going to wish that he used one less time while they are in hell. God established human government. We may not respect its officers, but we should respect the office. That's why we pray for the new administration. We are called to be a holy man and woman of God, not following the carnal people of this dying world. Be different. Be sanctified. Amen? Three applications for you guys. Number one, when we serve our God, we do it because we love him, not because it's our duty. Number two, our God's law is perfect and helpful for our spiritual and physical aspect. Psalm 19:7, our memory verse, and Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walks in the law of the Lord. Third application. We should consider our extreme privilege to be a bond slaves of our Christ. Amen? So I have this question. Are you serving the Lord? If you do not, you should. look for opportunity to serve Him in the church and other places. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.